What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 196. And as always, our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing. And stay tuned towards the end of the podcast because I'll tell you about this Amazon fiasco that I've been dealing with the past week.
I haven't heard this.
Yeah, you haven't heard about this. That is my co-host this week. That is Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Not much. How's it going, Bob?
Well, I'm very disappointed in Amazon. Fiasco, right?
I just made an Amazon order today, so now I'm like freaking out that I'm going to have issues.
Yeah, but we'll talk about it towards the end of the podcast because it has to do with some new tech that I actually purchased and I bought. And I'm actually really excited for. You don't think it can work the way that I want it to work, but I really think it can. So we'll talk about that at the end of the podcast. For everybody just jumping in and joining us, if you're watching us on YouTube, in the description is our show notes. So you can follow along with us as we go along here. But yeah, let's jump into tech. And this week, I took a look at a really awesome graphics card. And when I initially, took a look at this, I wasn't necessarily sure how much I would like it because of the fact that, one, you know, Radeon cards haven't, as far as design and everything, they haven't been great, right? Yeah. The 5700 and 5700 XT, there's a few models that you kind of get excited about, but for the Sapphire cards, just, I mean, we've reviewed a couple, they're not amazing.
There's nothing awesome, you know, like looking about them, they just look like a slightly beefed up reference card, honestly. Most of the time.
So there hasn't been like a whole lot of like hype around a lot of these cards. And, you know, we know ASRock for mainly motherboards, right?
Right.
But this past year they got into graphics cards, and this is kind of like their second run of graphics cards. And we have a Tai Chi graphics card, which I think I'm such a big fan of their Tai Chi motherboards. They're one of my favorite, like out of all like all the boards that there is out there, like the Tai Chi boards have always given you great value, awesome quality and everything like that. And they released a Radeon RX 5700 XT Tai Chi XOC, which is sitting in front of me. If I don't spill my drink on it, that would be bad. It's this. And this is, let me see if I get it in the camera here. This is a big boy graphics card. Like, it's heavy. It feels great. It's one of the, I've been reviewing a lot of graphics cards lately, and it's one of the cards that when I picked it up, it felt heavy. It felt beefy. And that just speaks to the quality and the materials and everything.
It's pretty sizable, for sure.
It's a big card. Here's the back. Let's see if I can move back a little bit. I mean,
it when you're holding it there, like the images you have in the review obviously show off the card, but seeing it in your hand, it looks bigger than I realized it was.
It's one of the bigger, like I have a stack of graphics cards over here, and it's one of the biggest ones that's there. It's one of the heaviest ones that's there. So just in terms of quality, this card is awesome. And they've done some really cool stuff with it too. So we'll go into, you know, just like looks and stuff. As I said, they have a triple fan cooling design, two larger fans on the outside, and then a smaller one in the center. And what's interesting about this, the center fan, is that there is no RGBs in the fan itself, but there's an RGB ring around the fan. And what you get with that,
it's kind of a unique look, really, when it's lit up.
It's just a different look, and I think it works really well. You can see it right there. Like it works really well with this card. I love the backplate on this card. It's probably I don't care about the RGBs or anything, but the backplate on this card is awesome in my opinion.
Now those are the gold ones. Those are cutouts, right? That to go to a different layer as well.
Yeah, that's a cutout. And everything like that. Like, it's a full backplate. It's metal. It's brushed aluminum. Like, it is awesome. And the thing that really impresses me about this is that, you know, brands like Asus and Gigabyte, they've been putting out graphics cards for years. You know what I mean? And this is only the second run from ASRock for graphics cards. And this is one of the best, best graphics cards. But even if this was an NVIDIA card, like, just the quality of the card is so good it just blew my mind.
That's good to hear, because when a company comes into it, like a, you know, a field that they're typically not, like when we had NZXT coming out with their motherboard, right? It was unknown territory for them, kind of the same here, just being their second run of video cards.
And what we talked about with Tai Chi, you know, with their motherboards, is that it's quality. They always try to bring quality. And if you look at our rear IO here, we have 4 DisplayPort and 2 HDMI. So, and what's interesting crazy. Is that the 5700 XT does support a total of 6 outputs, but nobody puts 6 on their cards. But ASRock went ahead and put 6 on here. So technically, with one card, you could run a total of 6 displays, which is pretty awesome.
That's, yeah. I mean, it's decked out.
Yeah.
For sure.
So as far as performance goes, you know, I talked about it. This is going to be a card that you can do 1080p super high frame rates, 1440p AAA titles at very high frames, like 70 to 90, something like that. And you can get away with 4K. You just, like, for especially a lot of brand new AAA titles, you have to turn the settings down a little bit, but you can definitely get over 60 FPS with this. It is a great card. It's going to look great. We had it matched up in our system, which was a ASRock X299 Tai Chi motherboard. They both look great together, which is cool. And the RGB is run by ASRock's Polychrome Sync, so you can sync your graphics card RGBs with the RGBs on your motherboard, which is another plus to the whole thing.
How did this? You've reviewed some other 5700 XTs, haven't you?
Yes.
How performance-wise, how is it compared to them?
It is one of the highest clocked ones, and it's going to perform. It kind of traded blows with the MSI Evoke OC, which is also overclocked. You know, they're all, I mean, in all honesty, like, they're all going to perform pretty much the same. Right. They're all clocked within, it's going to be like 1 to 5 FPS difference, or like a 5% or less difference.
Sure. So you're getting close to margin of error and just, very small.
But if you are looking at a 5700 XT, this is one of the ones that would be at the top of my list. It's just that good. It looks that good. Performance is great. The fans aren't super loud either, which is something something that I liked. The only thing is that it is one of the most expensive 5700 XTs out there. It's more expensive than the ROG Strix. It's more expensive than the Evoke OC from MSI. But I think that the amount of, like, hardware in this, like, it is just a heavy card. It's a big card. And it's just one that I would, like I said, it would be at the top of my list. It really would. It's just, like I said, it's just that good. So I think it's 480.
480, yeah.
Yeah.
So $80 over the recommended price.
Yeah. So it's not like, you know, that's pretty high. I think the Strix is $450.
That's surprising.
Yeah. So, but again, like I said, every time I even pick it up, I'm like, this is what this, it reminds me of, like, an older graphics card, like the big beefy designs that you just, like, you don't see as much, I don't think, you know? And in it, like, you know, 5700 XTs do need a lot of beefy cooling. They just do. So to see that, and you don't need the fans pumping super crazy fast on this where it sounds like it's going to take off. Like I said, it's the number one recommended 5700 XT from me. It just is. It's, like I said, it's that good. So yeah, definitely check out their review. Just an awesome product there. And then I took a look at a product that I'm actually sitting at right now. So we talked about it before, about getting a new desk. And I wanted a new desk for a while, just for the fact that I wanted something that was bigger, something that I could put my tower on. That was, like, the big thing. Because before, I actually have pictures in this review of what my setup used to look like. So here was my setup before. You can see I did have a nice desk, you know, but it was just a little, like, I had my tower over here and I have these cables and, you know, and, like, when I'm doing stuff, I have this little area over here to, like, take notes and stuff on, but there wasn't a whole lot of
spot.
Yeah, there's not just a whole lot. And like, this is a 34 inch ultra wide, and I put speakers, and then I have my headset stand. Like, it's kind of busy. I have my microphone here that you guys can see here. So like, it's kind of busy. So Autonomous reached out, and they have their newer Smart Desk 2 Hybrid Edition, which they literally changed the name today to the Home Edition. So if you're looking for it, it's called the Home Edition. And now you can see what I have. One, I wanted to go all white. I just wanted something different. I had the bamboo top before, so I wanted to go all white, which I think looks amazing. Yeah. And two, again, the big thing is I have my tower on here now. So this is their
XL. Which I think always looks better. Just getting a little closer and just seems... It brings it all together and makes it one package.
Yeah, like this is my full setup. This is my PC. This is all my like gaming stuff. This is everything in one package. So everything fits on the desk. There's a ton of room. One thing I really liked about this desk was that it was super easy to put together.
That was nice.
It took about 30 minutes, which is pretty average. I put together about four of these desks, and the ones from Autonomous have always been the easiest, just for the fact that like it's just super simple.
They do a lot from the factory for you.
And one thing that's really great about these is that the directions are clear and easy to understand. They're not IKEA directions. And if you put together anything from IKEA, you really appreciate good directions.
Yeah. I love how like all IKEA packaging has like, oh, if you have trouble, there's like the guy on the phone calling people. It's like, you might as well just,
Yeah. So the one that I got is only $429, which this is a sit stand desk. So for those who haven't caught on yet, this is a motorized sit stand desk. So it has different levels. You can move it up and down and everything like that. For $429, that's very cheap. That's very cheap for even somebody like a student or something like that. And it's a very solid product. I went, as you can see, I went with the white XL top and the white frame, but you can mix it up. You can do, black top. They have the bamboo. They have the, I forget the other one they have. They have a bunch of options. So you can really fully customize it to what you want. And then it will come in two different boxes. So you have a box that has the tabletop and then a box that has the legs and everything like that. The motors are in the legs, so you don't have to like really mess with hardly any of that stuff. You basically connect the legs to the tabletop, flip it over, and you're good to go. As I said, it took me about a half an hour, and that's kind of, what it looked like. And then as far as like using it, the best thing I like about standing desks is that I do get to stand, but I have the option to, like right now I'm sitting at this desk, but my typical workflow is in the morning, I'll stand. That's when I have my most energy is in the morning. So in the morning I'll be standing, but then as it gets, after lunchtime, I'm kind of tired and I want to sit down. I have the ability to just press a button and sit down.
That's nice.
Which is good. The controller that it comes with, you can see here, you have four different presets, so you can set those to different heights. You have up and down arrows, which will move the desk up and down. And you have the little, it just tells you your height. So you can set your height. Maybe you get one desk at work and then you get one for your house. You can, you know what your heights are. The differences between this desk and the one that I reviewed a few years ago, I thought they would be pretty much the same. While they are pretty much the same, the one thing that I did like is the presets. So if I would hit number one, it would go up to my standing preset. It will move the desk up, and then like the last couple seconds, it slows down. So it doesn't jerk your desk around. On the previous version, which is actually sitting
behind me. It would just stop and shake.
Yeah, it would stop and shake. So that was something that I noticed about the two, and the motors in this one are not as loud. So those are two things that I noticed that they must have made improvements on since I reviewed the original.
In that picture I was looking I was curious about the edge. So it looks like it's kind of a bezeled top or beveled. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's beveled. So you don't, you're not going to
comfortable. It's not that hard edge.
It's not, it's comfortable. It's not going to it's not a hard edge. Even the one that I reviewed a few years ago that again is sitting behind me, it kind of did it was a little harder. This one seems different, maybe because that one's bamboo and it had to be made differently. But I've already dropped some stuff on this and it didn't scratch. If you guys see, or actually over here, you can see this white desk. That's from IKEA. That's an IKEA tabletop. And literally anytime I just, anything falls on it, it scratches the desk. That hasn't happened on here. I've actually dropped this microphone, which is very heavy, on this desk the day I set it up.
It's always and, nice. You're like, oh,
and I was
it.
Like,
and
oh broken. My God, I've already scratched this. I can't even shoot a video on it yet without it being scratched, but it did not scratch the desk. So that's one big worry that a lot of people have with these desks, because like, why spend this much money on a desk if it's just going to get scratched, right?
Right.
So that hasn't been a problem. I haven't experienced it yet. And the fact that this is the XL tabletop and in the center, it might dip in a little bit. It's completely solid. Like there's no,
has a pretty good frame underneath it then.
Yeah, it has a very good frame that extends good. The entire length. There's no like, you know, you do have your 2 feet on the side, but you also have a frame that goes across the entire top. So it's completely solid. It feels so solid. I haven't noticed anything. It just feels like a completely solid product. And I'm really happy that I have this set up now. One thing you will notice is like, my cable management's horrible right now. Yeah. That's because I'm going to be redoing all my wiring and doing all the cable management at once. But they do include a bunch of things to manage all your cables under your,
that's under my your next desk. Question. Was there any, I know I saw the holes at the back for running your cables down through. Is there anything underneath that kind of a tray or anything that comes with
there's the, no the desk? Tray. You can buy that stuff extra, but they do have these little, basically wire organizers that will stick to the bottom of the desk. And I think they give you like 7 or 10 of them, which would be more than enough for what you want to do. We will be releasing videos on cable management for this desk and everything like that. So definitely stay tuned for that. But I just love the setup. You can see like, I can even put the desk up halfway and kind of sit at a stool, which I actually really enjoy doing. Or, you know, here's me standing. That's what the standing and then sitting like I am right now. That's kind of what I look like, except for the mic is moved over because we're recording the podcast. But, you know, that is, like I said, I would highly recommend these. They're one of the least expensive, but that in no way means that they're cheaply made or anything like that. Right. And I had another desk here from another company that was like $300 more expensive, and it's worse. It's harder to put together. It's flimsy. And it's just the quality that's in this desk for what you pay is just awesome. Cool. And another thing about my previous desk, as I said, it had this little, it's called
that cutout.
Yeah, it had the little cutout, which I did enjoy for a while, especially when I was standing. But if you're a gamer, like an FPS gamer that has a very low sensitivity, you're going to want a lot more space to move your mouse around. And in this setup, I have this mouse pad, but I will be upgrading that to an even bigger one. So you see that in the future, but definitely get a full-size tabletop like this for sure.
Yeah, that previous one, I can't work with that. I've got to have the big mouse mat underneath the keyboard and everything. So
yeah, so definitely check out that review. Like I said, Autonomous, they make some really awesome stuff. And their whole idea behind their company is that they want to bring products to... They want to cut out the middleman. It's just like all of like the... mattress companies, right? Like they want to cut out
shipping directly to you, right?
Yeah. So they started with desks. They actually make luggage now. They're coming
chairs too, don't they?
This chair I actually have is from them. So they do office chairs. So this is supposed to be like a Herman Miller clone, I guess, for less than half the price. They're coming out with another product which I can't tell you about. But it's something for the home that's very expensive, that's for exercise, that they're going to hopefully revolutionize. But their luggage is really cool too. They have a lot of really cool stuff to save you a lot of money. So definitely check them out for sure.
Cool.
Really cool stuff there. And then you've been on a roll of reviewing microphones. And yeah, I think this is such a great thing that we're doing with these microphones, because you know, like this microphone is a studio microphone, and I had to do a lot of research to find this one, you know, but a lot of people just like think, oh, I get a headset, my headset mic's great. This headset mic that we'll pull out here from my headset is crap. Most of the headset mics are crap, right? So you've been doing a lot of standalone mic reviews, and I think it's great that we're able to show everybody the differences in sound and everything like that. So this week you took a look at the Thronmax Amadrill 1 Pro Studio Kit. So this is
right.
This is the microphone, plus it comes with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, right? it's got the microphone, which is the Amadrill 1 Pro. So that's the name of the microphone itself. Which you can purchase on its own, but Thronmax sent over their studio kit, which has a couple more accessories. So right here, one of the main ones there is that the box.
It looks like a nice.
It's not too bad, you know. It's got this cloth covering on it. It zips open and closed, and then it's got the molded cutouts inside for the microphone itself. It's got a little. Kind of flexible pouch on the side for the cabling and accessories. So it's really a pretty nice kit. So if you're taking it with you or doing any mobile audio work, it's kind of a nice accessory. So the kit comes with the microphone with the stand built into it or already attached. It also comes with the pop filter there that you can see. The nice thing about it is it's kind of universal, so it's going to mount onto really any sort of microphone arm or stand. The stand or the arm I'm using is just a cheap one off of Amazon, and it tightened right onto it, no problem. So you get that. You get the adapter there to allow the microphone to attach to the arm. So that's the microphone that I'm using right now is the Thronmax Amadrill 1 Pro, and I have it on my arm there with the pop filter. So
nice. And what makes this microphone different from some others? I guess I would say.
Yeah, so, you know, at first you look at it, it does look like a pretty standard microphone, USB connected. Up at the top portion of the microphone, you have all these vertical slits in the all-in-one metal body there. So, and that's the name of that technology is skipping my brain. It's VertiGain technology. So, Thronmax says, hey, audio waves, they travel, you know, vertically in a sine wave side of sort of pattern. So instead of kind of blocking or disrupting that pattern, we're going to put vertical slits in this protective layer of those the capsules there in order to better capture your audio. And, you know, they have some claims of 10% better audio pickup and things like that. I don't know that it was, you know, measurably that much better as far as picking things up, but it's kind of a cool design. Protects the
it looks a lot different than other microphones.
It does, and there's also a foam you know, your standard filter here for windscreen there that can slide right over that, so it then, you know, that's all hidden there, and you gain some extra pop filtering and wind protection. It also has four polar patterns. So you have your cardioid, which I'm using right now, which has the best pickup right in front of it, but then kind of, you know, deadens the sound to the sides and behind of it. You have a stereo left and right there. You have a bi-directional. So if you're going to be like interviewing or something in a podcast, you could be facing whoever you're talking to and get that good audio from each of those sources. And then you have an omnidirectional where it's really going to equal out the audio pickup from any direction there. Nice. You've got the mute button on the front. There's also kind of a gauge there that'll turn colors depending on if you're adjusting the microphone gain. So the gain is going to be the green. And there's a dial on the back of the microphone for adjusting gain. And then it's going to be blue to show you the level of the zero lag headphone monitoring volume. Oh, okay. On the back, so you can plug, you know, your headphones into this to monitor the audio in real time. Gosh, that's without right any here. Delay. Right, exactly. Nice. It does have some RGB lighting. It's got like 7 colors, solid lighting. You know, I can on a microphone, I don't see the point, but whatever. It does have the built-in threads there on the bottom, so you can kind of mount this to some microphones, microphone stands that are compatible with that threading. But I do like the adapter that they give you. It gives you just a little more flexibility on your angling and how you position the microphone. Nice. Connects USB-C on the bottom and then a standard type A port on the other end of the cable. And that's just another kind of look there of the microphone in the stand. One thing I will say is the arms of this stand. So it's got a decent weight to it. It's got a rubber grip on the bottom. You know, there's obviously some metal inside of here because it's pretty hefty. But these arms are plastic and they're pretty flexible. Yeah, so when you have the microphone in there, it's not quite as noticeable, but it definitely, you know, it'll move back and forth. Most of the time it's going to be sitting there on your desk, not a big deal, but it just kind of cheapened the feel of the product a little bit. I would have loved to see these be metal or at least reinforced internally with some metal, but yeah.
And then as far as like audio quality, I would say compared to some of the other
compared to the others, I wasn't quite as impressed. I think if I had a couple folks comment when I was talking to them directly, that it sounded a little echoey, kind of a little more tinny than like the Samsung G-Track Pro that I looked at more recently, or the MXL BCD1. Those have a much warmer, rich sound to them. I also noticed that this microphone picked up a lot more ambient sound. In the room here, I've got the door closed 99% of the time. But every now and then there's, you know, people outside the door, you know, my kids are out there, my wife, and them just talking or watching TV, it was picking up those sounds through the door, and it's not like they were yelling or anything. So it did have a little more pickup than what I would have liked to see, but it's such an improvement, like you said, over a standard headphone or headset microphone.
Yeah,
that it's going to be a night and day difference anyways. And you know, when you think of this kit that comes with your pop filter and the microphone and the stand and cabling for $99 on Amazon, that's a pretty good deal.
That gives you everything, basically.
Right. And I would love to see, you know, the only complaint I have about calling this a kit is that it doesn't come with an arm. Thronmax does make like an arm that looks really nice. But I would have loved to see them bundle that with this, you know, for a little higher price.
Gotcha.
And
yeah.
And now, complete solution there.
That I want you guys to definitely do is if you go to the review, Ryan has made audio samples of all of the mics that he's reviewed, and you can tell the difference. And absolutely. I do think after listening to these, I do think the Samsung G-Track Pro and especially the MXL BCD1, those do sound better. But if you listen to something like the Corsair Void Pro, which is just a normal gaming headset like this one, you'll notice.
You can notice a difference instantly.
Yeah, it's night and day. So, you know, I think these type of products, they're great for people who might be getting into podcasting, might be getting into streaming. When I streamed for the first time, I was using this crappy mic, and it just improves everything dramatically. And for an investment of only $100, it's $100 on Amazon. I mean, that's like nothing. I think that it's just a great investment. It really is.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of an improvement in like the quality of your broadcast, right? So you get a nice Logitech camera, HD camera. You've got your game looking good on the stream, and then someone clicks onto it to watch it, and they hear you talking through a tin can, right? They're not gonna stick around. So
I've had that problem before when I didn't have a nice mic like this one right here.
Before I switched over to them, it was the same thing, and you really don't realize it until you're like, oh god, that's what I sounded like. No wonder why I wasn't getting any views, you know.
So check out definitely an old man, welcome back. You were here last week. He's talking in our live chat. Not having a good mic, it's something that you take for granted. You think like you want to have the best camera or whatever, but audio is so important when it comes to all that. So again, definitely check out Ryan's review and definitely scroll through and listen to the audio samples that he's provided, because that's really going to make you tell a difference, like what mic I want, which one sounds better and everything like that. So definitely check that out. And we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And this, which I thought was a Cougar Conqueror build, because it looks like one.
Yep.
It looks like one, but it's not one, because this is the Antec copycat. And I'm calling it a copycat because it did come out after the Cougar Conqueror. It looks very similar. One, I'm surprised this is an Antec case, because it's Antec. That's not,
that doesn't look like an Antec case, yeah. Right?
But this is a really great build. This reminds me so much of the Cougar Conqueror builds, but this is the Antec Torque case. And this build is by Heat PCs, and this is the first time we featured a build from Heat PCs. But the one thing I like about it is we see so many of these builds in these open air cases that are just like monstrosities of RGB and just stuff everywhere and mm-hmm. in your face. When this one is just like clean, nice lines, you know, I'll scroll through, you know, a lot of these images.
Well, I think the color, just the colors of the case panels, right? You've got that, those grays and the silvers yeah. and the black, those help, you know, and the color choices that they made on their component choices and the, you know, the RGB lighting colors that they've chosen, that purple and a little bit of blue there.
And using like, and just using chrome hard tubing instead yep. of the clear where you would see the liquid. Yep. And just everything like that. It's just such a great build.
The backside looks pretty nice too. There.
Oh, this cabling is just like.
It's not the cleanest, but it still looks pretty nice.
Yeah, it's just nice. Like I love stuff like this. And he did the thing. Like he, all his fittings, like they're not chrome on this side. They're black.
Yep.
To match the back of the case, like it's just very, very clean. Really great job. I love the mono block on this too. This is a Gigabyte, it's an Aorus. I don't know what Aorus this is. This is the Z390 Extreme Water Force board, which is an awesome board that comes with the integrated block on it, which is really cool. So yeah, definitely check this one out. If you guys don't know, we do have a full section of these builds. You just go to Case Mod Friday, and when it loads here, you can see we have a ton of these, and we have 34 pages, or maybe more.
There's a couple on there.
Yeah, there's a few. We have a ton. These are all the old ones. So definitely check out Case Mod Friday. Check out this week's build. Really, really cool stuff there. And then for our video this week, I made a video on the ASRock Z390 Phantom Gaming X. I already reviewed this motherboard, but I always like to put out videos on motherboards. You guys really enjoy those. And for me, this is the best Z390 board that ASRock has put out. It is a little bit late in the game for Z390. But, you know, you do have so many people still not wanting to go the AMD routes. And, you know, you have the 9900KS, which is the one that boosts all core to 5 GHz.
Right.
You know, that's new as well. This is the best, like I said, the best built Z390 board from ASRock that I've seen. It uses the new kind of design language that they're using with a full cover. This is a full heat sink that covers the M.2 slots, much like we saw in their X570 Tai Chi. Very similar in all that respects. We already did a review on this, so I'm not going to go into all the details. Definitely check out the video. I also covered the RGB lighting in the video. If you want to check that out, it's towards the end. Sure. But definitely check out that video. I had a lot of fun shooting that one. So yeah, that awesome. That brings us to news, and we have a lot of AMD stuff once again.
Again.
You know, it's just they're just owning the news. They're just, all the good news is mostly AMD, but we'll start with some video card stuff first. There have been rumors that Nvidia will be resuming production of their RTX 2070. So you know, we just had the RTX 2070 Supers come in.
Yep. Just got one.
But, you know, still before that, probably the most popular card was the RTX 2070. It's like the best bang for your buck, I guess, or at least it has been like the best bang for your buck card. But it looks like Nvidia is looking to ramp up production of it or put it back in the production line. And add-in board partners have, I guess, got on board with it because they were clearing stock out. It's kind of hard to find more than like one or two on Amazon. But, you know, an RTX 20 Super is selling for about $529. The RTX 2070 will hopefully get a price cut because of this, because they're putting more out there. You would think it would get more of a price cut, maybe down to $429 or $449, which I think would be good.
I think a price cut that low would be amazing for that. I don't know that it'll get that low, you're just kind of creeping in on that other territory for the 2060 Supers. But you know, options are good for folks, but again, just it's in my opinion a little bit crowding up that market, you know, and just like so many choices again, especially when, you know, you're saying, hey, the 2070 Super is the new, and now you're bringing back that older product.
I think the biggest thing is like, I wouldn't call it a cash cow, but this is like, it's not hard for them to make. The process node has been out there for a while, so they don't have like production issues with this. And it still makes them a lot of, it makes like their return on, or their, how much they make off each card is good with this card. And they need to get more market share back from AMD, I think. I mean, while it's not like crazy market share that AMD has,
it's enough for them to notice.
Yeah. And again, since the RTX series, NVIDIA has had a hard time really convincing a lot of their shareholders that like RTX is the way to go. And, you know, people aren't buying RTX cards. So offering this card at a lower price just makes sense, for NVIDIA. It just does.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Talking about something that I guess it does make sense. This next story does make sense. It frustrates me. I think we talked about it last week about pricing and cards and stuff, but
right.
NVIDIA will be launching a GTX 1660 Super on October 29th, which is in just a few days. It'll be $229. And if you look at our little graph here, it'd be kind of hard to see in the video, but this will sit between the current GTX 1660 and the GTX 1660 Ti.
Okay.
It's only going to be $10 more expensive than the GTX 1660, which is like, again, why?
So what? Your main difference is the move to GDDR6, right?
Yeah. So, sorry, I didn't explain, guys. So. The main difference between this is basically a GTX 1660 with GDDR6 memory. So the original 1660 had GDDR5. So you're moving from 8 gigabits per second to 14, which is a big difference. So your effective memory bandwidth goes from 192 gigabytes a second to 336. But it's interesting. This is the first super card that doesn't use a higher card GPU. Like with the 2070 Super, that actually used the 2080 GPU, you know, the original 2080 GPU. So I like this because you're bringing more value to the consumer, right? For $10 more, you're getting not a whole lot more performance, but you're getting more performance. But you know, you have a GTX 1660 at $219, you have a GTX 1660 Super at $229, and then you have a GTX 1660 Ti at $279.
Right.
It's just like,
I'm surprised the Super isn't going to be, you know, another 10, 15 higher, just to kind of split that difference. But I guess, yeah, like you said, you're using your same GPU. So
a couple days we'll get the official announcement from NVIDIA. This was all leaked, but it seems to be pretty solid and everything like that. So I just think there's too many options. I mean, I'm a simple guy.
You just want to play your games.
Yeah. No, I just like again, it was the way everything was. It's just, you know, but I think that one, they're trying to say, okay, this beats the lower end AMD card by a little bit. But talking about AMD, we'll move over to CPU stuff and high-end desktop stuff, which I'm super excited about because I love I run a high-end desktop machine.
We all like it, right?
High-end desktop is my thing. So earlier this week there was a leak, not a leak, but somebody tested a Ryzen Threadripper 3960X 24-core processor in Ashes of the Singularity benchmark. And of course, let that benchmark go online and you can go through all the benchmarks and find it. The interesting thing about that is that this is the first chip that NVIDIA will launch with AMD. AMD will launch with their Threadripper 3000 series. So high-end desktop, Intel a couple weeks ago announced their high-end desktop their lineup,
stuff, right?
Which ends at 18 cores. Ends.
Yeah. If we're starting cores. Starting here.
And this part is 24 core, 48 thread that starts their high-end desktop lineup. And you have to remember that we do have the 3950X, which is going to be on the mainstream platform, which is going to be 16 core. So they're jumping up to 24 core to start this, which is kind of crazy to think about. I mean, just a few years ago, I mean,
24 core was crazy in this.
Yeah,
you know, you would have never thought that that's available or even coming soon, honestly.
Yeah, but since that leak came out, another leak came out with all of the information. So we have all of the dates and everything like launching, that.
Right.
So we have according to this, the AMD will launch with three Threadripper chips. You have a 3960X, a 3970X, and you'll have the 3990X. These will be 24, 32, and 64 core parts. Initially, the 3960X and 3970X will be unveiled November 5th, which is coming up, which is really exciting. They will launch alongside the AMD TRX 40 chipset. This will also be unveiled the same day, in that motherboard manufacturers will be able to say, here's our TRX 40 boards. TRX 40 is sort of like the enthusiast kind of gamer high-end desktop board. It's going to have a lot of the same features that current X399 boards have. And then there is going to be a TRX 80 and WRX 80 for more like workstation
type loads. Yeah.
Type stuff. The 3990X, that will be, I guess, maybe previewed. Like,
yeah,
the
name, it's not coming out till later.
Yeah. The name might come out. But that won't be till a lot later on. And I don't think they'll talk about clock speeds or anything like that, because as we saw with the 3950X, that still is not out yet. We still don't have like clocks, or like they have been adjusting clocks on that. So,
there's a lot of specs, I think, still getting hammered down, you know, nailed down on what they're going to be. So,
yeah, I think that, this is really awesome for AMD. Maybe that's why this was delayed, because this was supposed to be more or less out already.
By now.
But I mean, starting the lineup at 24 cores is just amazing, right? I think it's really going to, for applications that are highly threaded, you know, encoding video and stuff like that. And we've already, you know, we know what these motherboard manufacturers are working on and things like that. And I think that, you know, this is really going to be a big thing for creators and, you know, people doing a lot of highly threaded things, that AMD might be the choice. It's always been Intel. It really has. And to start the lineup at 24 cores, just they're making a statement.
Yeah, it's nice to see that pendulum swinging back towards AMD. You know, it really feels like it's starting to have some momentum behind that swing.
Yeah.
Hopefully it just, you know, results in more competition between the two and more improvements as we go.
Yeah. And talking about motherboards for high-end desktop for AMD, Gigabyte has already teased a TRX 40 board. So here's the image that they leaked or they put out. So the things we can see on this, which we'll point out, TRX 40 will have quad channel memory, as you can see here.
Yep.
Another thing to see is you have 1, 2, 3, 4 PCI Express 4.0 slots. That's great to see. You do see a chipset fan. So
looks
this
like a
makes,
fan there, right?
This makes us think that just like X570, this TRX 40 will be higher TDP, which means it will require an active fan, which on X570 wasn't a huge deal. I don't know how big of a huge deal it's going to be here. On the specific Gigabyte board, we have this new RGB that looks like it's a lot like the ASRock that we saw. That
can't tell if it's underneath it or actually the edge of it, right?
I think it's underneath it. That's how the ASRock one is. But you have that, and you do have postcode display here, USB 3.2 Gen 2 header right there. a lot of cool stuff to see.
A couple other things I noticed too, like in that corner right where your mouse was, you got a power connection there.
Oh, right here. Yeah. So this is going to bring more stable power into the board.
And then a couple M.2 slot covers, obviously, with that.
Right here.
Three of them, maybe.
And it looks like
possibility.
See, like there's a screw here, a screw here. I don't know if this is, oh, that might be one whole piece. I can't tell.
I think it's one piece. Yeah.
That was the big thing about the ASRock boards is that if you upgrade to an M.2, you have to take everything.
The whole thing off.
Yeah. That's kind of, but yeah, so that's really exciting. Like I love high-end desktop. Basically, high-end desktop is like motherboard manufacturers throw everything they can on the board. So I'm really excited to see what we get with TRX 40 because that is the next high-end desktop. On the Intel side, we'll still have X299. We've seen some new boards already be announced for X299 if you still want to go the Intel route. But really cool stuff in the high-end desktop space coming up for sure. Really, really excited about that. Another AMD leak this week, which is pretty...
That's pretty
substantial. Is that an AMD Ryzen 9 3950X? So that's the 16-core processor. That was benchmarked in 3DMark FireStrike. The big thing about 3DMark FireStrike is there's a physics score in it. There are physics score here. The physics score is a CPU test.
Right.
It's not a GPU test. It's a CPU test, basically. So somebody compared this result to an Intel Core i9 10980XE, which is their new 18-core part. And it beats that part by about 24% in the CPU test. And the thing, this Intel Core i9 10980XE is a high-end desktop part, whereas the 3950X is an AM4 that you put on an X570 board. This is just
I saw some Twitter conversations going back and forth and things like that. You know, of course, Intel folks saying, well, you know, like, how legit is that, and just trying to, you know, calm everybody down.
If one thing we always do say is that there's all these leaks, there's all these things. Wait until the full,
wait until everybody gets their hands on. Yeah.
But one thing that AMD has beat Intel at is the multi-threaded workloads. They just have.
Oh yeah.
But this, I mean, this result does speak volumes. But we always say when it comes to these things, take it with a grain of salt. We're just telling you about it because we think it's very interesting, especially that a mainstream part is beating desktop part, right, in a high-end desktop part that is more expensive. So
yep,
definitely something to think about. But definitely, like I said, I love the leaks. We got a lot of leaks. Talk about another thing that was sort of a leak, but it's kind of something that I think is going to happen that we saw with some other parts, is that AMD might be releasing a Ryzen 7 3750X. AMD released their product master guide, which has all of their products and stuff on it. And in it, they had a Ryzen 7 3750X, 105-watt part. Which I guess would sit under the 3700.
Yeah, between the 3700X and the 3800X.
Yeah, and the 38, but
number wise,
it was taken off, so we don't know what the deal is there.
Okay. Maybe OEM, right?
Yeah. So that's the biggest thing, is I think this is going to be another OEM part. AMD has done some interesting things with putting out parts specifically for OEM that you can't get unless it's in a pre-built, which I think makes sense for OEMs because they need certain things like that. That Ryzen 9 3900, which I think would be a great part for so many people, it's OEM only, you know?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, you know, we were thinking with the 5500 series as well, thinking it was going to be OEM. Knows what they'll end up.
Yeah, so we don't know what they're going to do.
It seems like a tight spot to fit, honestly.
Yeah, and this is the thing. that we get into when we, just like when we're talking about the graphics cards, it's like there is only a certain amount of space in between parts.
Right.
And if you throw something else in there, it might jeopardize the other part. Yep. I don't know. Yeah, they might be coming out with it. We'll definitely let you know when we find out more on that. Another thing that was announced this week, which I thought was super cool because we've seen fan controllers for years. Actually, Lamptron was one of the first fan controllers that I ever bought. And traditionally, fan controllers would go in a 5 1/4 inch drive bay, but we don't have those anymore. A lot of cases have fan controllers, or you do it all through software, but there's just something about having a fan controller that's like showing you in real time, like your RPMs and like,
you're going old school on us.
I like that.
No, I do like the control that you used to have. You know, you'd have the, what was it? Vantech. Was that another one?
Yeah. Vantech was one of the,
with all those, yeah, like, you know, the dials on the front, and the fancy ones would have the readouts like this does here. I think that this product still has, there's a market for it. What I don't like about it is the LCD look, and just, I wish that this was, I don't know.
I like the LCD.
The display though reminds me of those older systems. They're just like, oh, we,
that's why I like it.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's, yeah. I'm not a big fan.
I think that one, it makes a use for this extra space. Like I'm looking in my case right now and I have one graphics card installed and nothing.
Yeah.
I just have maybe some
audio header connections or USB or something that,
yeah,
maybe I can kind of hide it.
And I think this is if you're doing one graphics card and you want to see your fans, and I believe this comes with an RGB controller and everything like that. Like this, I like it. I don't know. But it has, like I said, it comes with everything. It comes with a remote. I guess the remote allows you to control your fans and stuff too, which is, I guess, is a little more old school, and it's not like software because we have software for most of this stuff now. But I don't know. The old school person in me kind of likes it. They're two different colors. You'll get silver and the black, I guess. I like it. And I forget how many fans you can connect to it. But it looks like at least four or five fans to it.
I don't have it right next to me, but the remote that it comes with looks just like the remote that came with that mini PC that I reviewed not long ago.
That remote looks exactly like the remote that if you buy an Amazon Fire TV, it looks the same.
So,
but pretty much the same design. They all are probably made in the same factory. So I like this. I think it's really cool. They're actually sending us one over. So I'll be reviewing that. So I'll let you guys know all about this, but I think it's really cool. And coming from a company like Lamptron that like I grew up, that's like the controller that I wanted. They always made the coolest fan controllers for back in the day. So it's cool to see them have this one. So I'm pretty excited to get it into review and to install it in a system and see, you know, what it looks like and everything like that. But we'll move on to gaming stuff. And not a whole lot of gaming stuff going on, but we do have Red Dead Redemption 2 coming out for PC, and somebody made a comparison video using the gameplay trailer that was released by Rockstar comparing PC versus console. There's all these things over PC versus console, but the biggest thing that I think, regardless of quality when it comes to PC versus console, is draw distance. So you're having more draw distance on PC compared to console, so you're going to get a better, wider picture of the environment that you're in.
Adds some realism too with that, you know, you get that draw distance as opposed to on that console, just the shorter piece. You don't feel as immersed and it doesn't feel as real when you know that like you're not seeing everything that's probably there. I think that really helps out.
Yeah, I agree. But you can check out the video. We have it embedded in the article. I won't play it for you guys, but it does show a difference and everything like that. Of course, when the game comes out, we'll probably see a bunch of comparison videos. Are you going to get this game? I don't know.
I didn't play the first one. That's another piece. I don't have time, but I did see some videos of it, and it was, I was pretty impressed with some of the stuff, you know, the guys riding the horses through the snow and the way the snow was interacting and looking after they'd ridden through it. I was like, oh, I mean, it's pretty cool, but I don't have time.
I've never played a Red Dead Redemption game, but I've seen so many people like give it such high praises. Yeah. And everything like that. Like, that makes me want to play, especially because it is a single player game, right?
Yeah.
And like,
put the time into it when you have it, I guess.
Yeah, I really enjoy single player games. I used to enjoy Assassin's Creed. I used to love those games because they were single player and I could play it on my own time. I didn't need to like wait till my friends are online, because, you know, like when we play online games together, like we wait till each other online because it's much better to play with your friends.
Right.
So yeah, so I might get it. I don't know. Probably not, though. I don't have time. So. On the VR front, our last piece of gaming news here is that Borderlands 2 is now available on PC in VR. It was initially available on PlayStation V. There was a PlayStation VR version. This is the same version. It's full PC version. You can get it on Steam, which I think a lot of people are happy about.
Yeah.
Over the whole Epic Games Store thing. You can get it on Steam. It's a full thing. And if you buy it, you do get a DLC pack too. They just put out a video on it. Borderlands 2 is an amazing game if you haven't played it. I think just like the actual real game, like the original on Steam, is like, it's really cheap. It's like $5 or something.
I played a little bit of Borderlands, you know, not a ton, but having a Vive, sitting next
to me. I forgot you're a VR guy. I forgot. I don't know, it doesn't have the best reviews when I looked at it.
A lot of hype for Outer Worlds, Old Man Sane also.
Yeah, so
but it just came out what, a couple days ago, right? So,
and I think it went up because it had bad, when like when I actually initially wrote the article, it had bad reviews. Now
I wonder what people's complaints.
Yeah. But I mean, for a VR game, for a game that's that good, that's in VR, now that you can play it in VR, I think it'd be a lot of fun. And I'm not a big VR guy, and I think I would want to play this game in VR.
$50? I'm gonna pass on it.
How much is it?
50.
Ooh, yeah, that's expensive. But the thing is that the thing I haven't liked about VR is that there's no like titles that you know that are in VR, right?
Yeah. I mean, some of them, they've
or no some, franchises
kind of like adaptations, but it's
not
that environment that, you know, still like, yeah, you, okay, so you, now you've brought Borderlands to it, but what's the control like, and what's the play actually, you know, feel like? It's tough to move from something you're so used to using a keyboard and mouse and being familiar with that franchise and your movements and how you play, to being in a VR environment and trying to play and interact in that same, you know, world. I think add some challenges there.
Yeah. So, well, check it out. I think that's one of the bigger titles, like, or franchises to be available in VR. So that's a pretty big deal. $50. That's a lot to spend, I guess. But again, that's like how much a AAA title costs, and this is the full game just in VR.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. So might be worth checking out. But that will bring us to what we have going on next week as far as reviews. I'll be taking a look at another graphics card. I have a bunch of graphics cards lined up to review, so I'm really excited. I'm taking a look at the MSI GeForce RTX 2070 Super Gaming X. So if you know MSI graphics cards, you know Gaming X. This is basically, besides their Lightning, this is like one of their highest clock SKUs. It, you know, has the Gaming X design, which we all know.
Yep.
You know, it's awesome. Full cover backplate, everything like that. I'm not going to go into full detail. It is factory overclocked and everything too. So definitely stay tuned for that one. And I'll be taking a look at an awesome motherboard. This is the Asus ROG, or Republic of Gamers, Crosshair 8 Hero. This is their Crosshair board for X570. I just installed it the other day back in our test benches back there. It's awesome.
It looks
far.
Like such a nice board. I have the 6 and love it. The 8's just a nice progression on that line.
And I like how they've all, like, the RGB lighting looks like no other board, like, as far as just, like, how it's diffused and everything. Like, it actually really looks like that. Like, it does. Like, it looks, it doesn't, it just...
It doesn't look great in the marketing and then crap once you've got it installed.
Yeah, like, it really looks like that. Like, it looks, like, diffused how that looks. Like, it's just that good. A lot of cool things on this board. Definitely will be going into all of it in my review. So
yeah, what I really love, just to comment on that crosshair line, because I've been looking at possibly moving to X570, right? And I've been spoiled with the Crosshair 6 with the amount of USB ports on the back of that board. And I'm glad that they've continued that here, because there's like, what, 14 on the back of the Crosshair 6. I don't know if it's the exact same here, but there's just so many USB ports. And with all the devices I've got plugged in, I couldn't move to another board unless I started using hubs.
Yeah, I actually use a hub with all the stuff that I have here. So just a great board. So many great features. Obviously, we'll be going into that full thing in our full review. So two pretty awesome products this week as far as reviews go. So that brings us to the end of the podcast where we talked about any cool tech stuff. And at the beginning of the podcast, I did talk about how I had an Amazon problem. Well, that whole Amazon problem was because I bought an iPad Pro to be a laptop replacement, which I'll go over this really quickly, because if this does work out the way I want it to, and I think it will, is that I rarely use my laptop. I have a nice laptop.
Yeah.
But I rarely use it, right? I use it for email, like writing reviews, like when I'm on the go, when I'm traveling, photo editing, not really video editing. Like I really don't, because I have an Ultrabook and it's not crazy powerful, so I'm not gonna edit 4K video. But if I want to, I can, like, you know.
It just takes a little more time.
Yeah. So I bought an iPad Pro, which is, it's not on, but it's right here. And I bought a keyboard for it. And I actually bought the Apple Pencil, which is actually a very interesting experience. But we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But I bought a keyboard case for it so I could have a full keyboard and everything like that. But my keyboard hasn't showed up because Amazon lost it. I've never had a product order from Amazon that was just lost.
Yeah. Is that the one that earlier, like, it was ended up in California or something?
And yeah.
So what's the deal?
So it left the warehouse in Kentucky.
Okay.
And was coming to me in Pennsylvania. Prime shipping supposed to be there, and it was two days. And I look at it and I'm like, it just never showed up. And then it says, you know, and then I looked at the tracking again and it's like, it's in California. I'm like, why did it go there? And then it said it was supposed to show up yesterday. It didn't. It was said it was supposed to show up today and it didn't. So I went on Amazon.com and I chatted with the person. And they're like, it's lost. I'm like, oh,
okay.
Good to know.
You gonna send me another one?
Yeah. So they couldn't it was weird because like I reordered it after they gave me a refund.
Okay.
But like I've never had anything from Amazon get lost. It's kind of weird.
Man, I don't do a ton of ordering through them, honestly. So I don't know that I've ever had anything lost.
I ordered a beef jerky through Amazon the other day.
Shipping always weirds me out. And I'm so spoiled by the 2-day, though. Like, I ordered some shoes online, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. And they're like, oh, it's going to take like 8 days to get there. And they had to come from Texas to Kansas.
Is this Amazon?
No, this is like Kohl's.
Okay, right? Yeah.
And I found some shoes I wanted. They were the only people that had them. So I was like, all right, fine. I'll order through them. Came from Texas, went up through Oklahoma City, went past me to Kansas City, stayed in Kansas City for like 5 days, and then came back down to me in Wichita.
That's crazy. Like you get so spoiled by it. You're like, what is normal shipping?
What is this like, you know, turnaround time? Like I was looking at buying some stuff on eBay and they're like, well, our processing time is 3 to 5 days. Why?
Like, like you're so like, if you have Prime, you're so spoiled. It is like,
it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like bad. Now for a lot of products, if there's a warehouse close to you, it's one day shipping.
Yeah.
And in some cases, if there's
you can get the same day,
you can get a 2 hour within 2 hours. A lot of
I don't live in one of those areas.
Yeah. So like in Pittsburgh, we have like Amazon lockers, which you can get it like in a couple hours. But so yeah, like I was just like, Amazon, like, how did you lose my package? Because like you think like Amazon's really good at this whole shipping thing.
How's the USPS lose your package, really?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I will definitely let you guys know if an iPad Pro works as a laptop replacement for me. I wanted something that was kind of small, easy to take with me. One thing, like even I have an Ultrabook and it's super small and it's thin. I think it's a 13-inch. And even that, when I open it up in the keyboard, when I'm traveling, it's not enough. Like it covers the entire tray table, especially like if you're traveling domestic, mm-hmm. it covers the whole tray table. So like when they bring you something to drink, you have to like actually set it on your laptop, which So I just wanted something smaller. And I like taking notes, and I bought the Apple Pencil, which is, this is $100. Like a stylus is $100.
I know, I bought one at work, not an Apple Pencil, but like a nice Dell Pencil, and it was
So the
90
the
thing, something, it was crazy.
I really haven't done a whole lot of research on this, but the thing that's different is that it has pressure or something.
Points of sensitivity. And
And like all that stuff. So I've taken some notes on that. And I have some drawing apps, which is like something I might want to get back into or something, you know? Yeah. So I just like, I'm going full in on this. I'm going to get everything that I want for it, use it. And if I don't like it, it's Amazon 30-day return. So, so that's a whole thing. But what about you? Have you done anything tech related?
So last week, I think, I had just bought my video card.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I had installed it. But I was waiting on my monitor. So the monitor showed up. I got everything swapped out last Friday.
Swapped out a 75 hertz.
75 hertz, 24 inch, 1080 screen with a 27 inch, 1440p, 144 hertz screen. Ooh. So pretty big upgrade there, and went from an RX 580 to a RTX 2070 Super.
Nice.
So I switched camps and a decent upgrade as well.
How is the biggest question I have for you is, can you tell a difference between 75 and 144? And what game did you play to test this?
I've only played two games, and I haven't had much time with either one of them. So I've played Fortnite and Apex Legends. I do feel like I notice a difference in both of them. It's not as extreme as I thought it would be. Both of them, though, I do have run into 144 hertz, 144 frames, so everything's synced up there. I do feel like my gaming has improved in Apex in the little bit that I played. I feel like I'm doing more damage in rounds and getting more kills. Nice. You know, whether that's this or I'm just getting matched up with different people, I don't know. But right now, that with the limited time I've had with it, it feels like an improvement. And then I got just today the Pixel 4 XL, so replacing OG Pixel XL. So
I don't follow phones. Is that a new one or no?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I have an iPhone.
It just came out today.
Oh, okay. So you went out and bought the phone the day it came out.
Yes, we bought two of them. So my wife dropped her phone and broke it, and she had like. It was ready for replacement. I've been on the original Pixel for 2.5 years. So I was ready for something new. Nice. So we got a good deal. I was on Google Fi and actually moved back to Verizon because they gave they had a deal of like buy one, get one. So
I've been on AT&T for so long.
Yeah. I was on Verizon for a really long time.
I mean, how do you like, what's the big difference? I mean, is it faster?
I mean, it's faster. It's got, you know, better cameras, face unlock, seems to be working pretty well. I haven't spent much time with it. Honestly, I just, you know.
Same thing with that iPad. Like, I've played with it a little bit, but I haven't had a whole lot of time to really test it out and everything like that.
So. But I mean, it's replacing a phone that came out in 2016.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm still going to get used to the rounded corners on the screen. I like the square screen corners because I like to watch a video and see the whole thing and not have the rounded corners, but that's just me. And it's my first phone without a headphone jack as well. So. Forza Horizon 4 at 144 hertz, says Old Man. I do have that game. I may have to try that out.
Yeah. There's a lot of games. I mean, like, I really do. Like, when I was testing 240 hertz, like, playing Counter-Strike Source was, like, you could really tell the difference.
Yeah. Feel like cheating.
Any FPS, you at least going from 60 to 144, even on the desktop, like, even in Windows, I can tell the difference between 60 and 144. So yeah. But yeah, guys, we'll go ahead and end things here. We've taken up an hour of your time, or a little bit over an hour.
Did you want to talk about the Cooler Master giveaway at all?
Oh yeah, I didn't even put that in our show notes. I have our show notes here, it's not even up. But we are running a contest with Cooler Master. We're trying to do, as long as we can get sponsors and everything like that, we're trying to do a contest every month where we give away something good, like some piece of hardware. So Cooler Master teamed up with us this month, and we're giving away one of their ML240P Mirage. That's a 240 millimeter AIO. And they're going to give away a MWE Gold 750 fully modular power supply as one package. So you're going to get a new power supply, and you're going to get an AIO. It's super easy to enter. You enter by
16 ways. Wow.
Yeah. So you enter by subscribing to our email newsletter, and then that will unlock all of the other ways to enter, like tweeting it and following us on certain things and everything like that. It's super easy to enter. Thank you to Cooler Master for providing the products and everything like that. This is US and Canada only. It's so hard to do worldwide because of shipping and things like that. But this is US and Canada only. So putting that out there, it's going to run for 1 month. It's been running since the 17th. It's the 24th now. It will run till the 17th of November. And then we'll hopefully have another contest after that. So get your entries in on this one. And of course, again, our plan is to have a contest every month. So you'll be giving you guys stuff every month going forward. So definitely check that out for sure. But as I said, we will be going ahead and ending things. If you're looking to subscribe to us, of course, if you're watching us on YouTube, you're already in here and you guys can subscribe. Yep. But if you're listening to us on your favorite podcasting app or software, it is just Think Computers, all one word. So we'll see you guys in the next one.